The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Welcome to The Village Zendo. It is a very cold day here in New York City. My name is Musho, also known as Rodney Allen Greenblatt. And I am a senior student here at the Village Zendo, but I also lead my own small meditation group in Catskill, New York, where I live. And one of my members from this Catskill Zen Circle is here today. Thank you for coming. My talk tonight is called Thanks for Your Reply. And basically, it's a simple statement of gratitude. And I am very grateful to be here. It's not easy to sit in the Dharma seat here and give a talk. Not easy to get here. And I'm very grateful also to not only you that are here listening to me tonight, but also everyone who's listening to this as a recording. Thank you. Thanks for your reply is also a reference to the koan that has inspired my talk tonight. And for those of you who are new to our Zen practice, koans are old Chinese teaching stories, old weird Chinese teaching stories that we study, at least some of us here study. And that brings me to tonight's koan. It's case 36 of the Blue Cliff Record, Cheng Sha, Wandering in the Mountains. One day, Cheng Sha went wandering in the mountains. Upon returning, when he got to the gate, the head monk asked, "Where are you coming from, master?" Sha said, "From wandering in the mountains." The head monk asked, "Where did you go?" Sha said, "First, I went pursuing the fragrant grasses. Then I returned, following the falling flowers." The head monk said, "How very much like the sense of springtime." Sha said, "It even surpasses the autumn dew dripping on the lotuses." Sui To added the remark, "Thanks for your reply." Kind of a weird story. When I first read it, I thought, this is just a weird conversation about very little. But when I look at these things, and when often I think other people, you look at these things for the first time, you think there's got to be more to it. It just has to be deeper than just these two guys having this discussion about where the teacher had been. So automatically I start kind of scanning the text for something. And fragrant grasses and falling flowers sort of stuck out. And I was thinking maybe the fragrant grasses have something to do with spring or birth or beginnings. And maybe the falling flowers, impermanence. Ooh, or the end of life, death, maybe, the falling flowers. Or maybe, of course, I'm a Zen student, so I also thought maybe it has something to do with the relative and the absolute, which are concepts that we study here. But when I do this kind of speculation on these things and I research the text, it becomes a pitfall. And I think maybe my first reading of it as just a discussion between a very refined teacher and his senior assistant is really basically an appreciation of that moment. So it goes, "Where are you coming from, master?" from wandering the mountains. Where did you go? First, I went pursuing the fragrant grasses. Then I returned, following the falling flowers. How very much like the sense of springtime. It even surpasses the autumn dew dripping on the lotuses. At the end of this case, there's another little comment by the Zen master Sui To. And Sui To is actually the editor, or the person who put together the Blue Cliff Record, which is a collection of 100 of these crazy, weird koans. So Sui To, at the end, he added, so who knows how many hundreds of years later, he added, "Thanks for your reply." I really love that. And that's the part of this that stuck out for me. Sui To, I mean, the way I feel about this is that Sui To felt an extra amount of gratitude to Changsha. Changsha just described his journey, and he answered the questions of the head monk. And I think that Sui To just felt like saying thank you to Changsha. And that to follow the grasses and flowers and then return home is a wonderful way to live your life. I would like to wander more the way Changsha did. He didn't seem to have a plan. And I don't think that having a plan is a problem. Actually, planning and having a strong intention is a good thing. But we also need time in our lives to wander. Just to walk around, maybe alone, walk the streets of the city, visit a park, or go on a hike on a trail, or maybe like doodling in a sketchbook or writing in a journal, but totally without a plan and without some kind of outcome or destination. I think we need to do that more. Many of you know that I am actually a visual artist. I make a lot of artwork, sculptures, constructions. And looking over my work for many years, I feel like my best things are from when I was wandering. I have a habit as a person to do a lot of over-planning. I'm kind of a planning type of guy. And I also like to set goals for myself and create deadlines. And I'm always kind of pushing myself to get it right. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But my Zen practice here helps me to sort of breathe into all that and to relax a bit. And to pursue the fragrant grasses and to follow the falling flowers. That's a pretty easy plan. And I'd like to do that more. When we are wandering in the mountains, we find steep hills and we find rough rocks and streams that we might have to cross. And we face those pitfalls. And just as when you're walking in the mountains, there's beauty all around you. It's not hard to see when you're out in nature. We have constant beauty in our regular lives. But it does take a little discipline to see that beauty when we're rushing around in the city. or driving in a car in a traffic jam on the BQE, for example. It's hard to see. But our meditation practice helps us to notice that kind of stuff. Just notice the beauty that's there. So at our Zen group in Catskill, we meet in a storefront yoga studio. And the sunlight, the sun rises and often shines right through the storefront window into the space, which is quite nice. And one day, as we were all sitting there facing the wall, a big, fluffy, white cloud eclipsed the sun, and it became very dark just for a moment, right? And then the cloud moved away, and the light came back. After I rang the bell, on Tuesdays we have a short discussion. It's part of our practice at the Zen Circle, the Catskill Zen Circle. And everyone unanimously mentioned the passing cloud and how the room had become dark and then light again. Everyone noticed that. It was great. And of course, in my role as the group leader, I had to say something Zen about that. So I suggested that our meditation practice lets us notice those beautiful, ordinary things, just like the passing cloud. And wouldn't it be great if we could always notice those kinds of details in our lives? So one of the members of the group suggests that I give a Dharma talk on the passing cloud, which I really liked. But instead, I decided to choose Changsha Wandering the Mountains, which is a little like that cloud. You can actually make up your own Changsha Wandering the Mountains story. For example, what happened in your meditation today? A passing cloud darkened the room momentarily. What did you think about it? I worried that it might rain, and then was glad when the sunshine returned. It's wonderful to notice something like that. It's better than hot chocolate on a cold day. Thank you for your reply. You can make them yourself. So, how can we live our lives as Master Changsha Wandering the Mountains? And how can we be as grateful as Sui To, who says, thanks for your reply? It actually seems very difficult in our busy modern lives. You know, in this crazy world where there's just so much suffering, not just around us, but inside us, it's hard to imagine maybe wandering. And of course, we want to make the world better, and we must take action. And we need to plan and set goals and work hard to end suffering in all its forms. But like Master Changsha, we also need to wander. We need to let our imaginations flow, and we need to notice the ordinary things, like the grasses and the flowers and the passing cloud. And maybe somewhere there, in that flow and in those ordinary things, is the end of suffering. Maybe so. As you know, Zen practice demands some discipline. We must practice to never take our lives for granted, and to constantly remember to be grateful for this life, and to take action, and to wander. I wish that all of us would be able to practice like Master Changsha, to experience our very own life as it is happening. We don't have to get anything from our meditation because it is really all right here. And when we sit in silence facing the wall, you can feel the change. Even meditators who maybe come for their very first time are going to notice the beginning of the period being different from the end, and that their mind changing and flowing as they sit there. Flowing and changing like the fragrant grasses and the falling flowers and the passing cloud. And maybe it will even surpass the autumn dew dripping on the lotuses. Where did you come from today? I drove from upstate New York to New York City. How was it? I started on familiar roads, then followed the traffic into the city. It doesn't sound bad at all. Actually, it was fine. Thank you for your reply. And thank you all for listening to my talk tonight. Thank you.